I said it is only when we recognize that we are only prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ that we truly walk in the victory we declare we walk in. Otherwise, it's highs and lows dependent upon whatever we think imprisons us. So Paul says, I don't give credit to those that put me in prison. The Lord wanted me here. I've got to write some letters, and I've got to get some things done, and I've got to give my coworkers a chance to get their feet wet. And when God gets all that done, I'm getting out of here, and I'm going on to the next place. I love you. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that, and if your Bible markers, you certainly need to have verse 3 underlined. By revelation, he hath made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote before in a few words, which I doubt. Paul never wrote in a few words any more than I preach a few words. Whereby, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now. Underline the word now. Revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Those three words should be underlined. By the Spirit. Then he goes on and tells why, that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and all of this and so on, that follows this marvelous, marvelous chapter. Now this introduces the series we're looking at together in my thinking. I believe that we are, and I've shared this with some of you in days gone by, still in a moment between seasons. Seasons of outpouring, seasons of time when God comes and moves according to what has been prayed prior to his move or his outpouring. From Pentecost and latter rain to drought and despair and not being certain of a lot of things, to the charismatic igniting and moving and so on. Those are seasons, but in between those seasons were moments. Moments not because of their shortness, but moments because nothing was seemingly happening. You don't want to hear anything deep. What do you want to hear? Psalm 23, want to go there? If we don't begin to understand that there is never a time in God when nothing is happening, we will go one more lap around the mountain. God does not have you on some kind of a treadmill, my friend. God isn't playing games with you or put you on some kind of an endurance course to see how much trouble you can endure and take and still serve him. He is working a divine purpose in his people, and it is a purpose that began before the world did. And it is time for the Christians, those who declare he is our Father, he is our lover, he is our King and our Lord, for the Christians to be able to understand the times and the seasons. We have been totally content in days gone by, and nearly all of my short to be 57 years of life, we've been totally content to let this revelation be delegated and limited to certain groups of prophets and apostles, which is exactly what he wrote. He said there was a time when nobody understood the mysteries of God. And then he said there came a time when the prophets did and the apostles did. And then he uses that word now. He says, now I'm an apostle. He has no problem with the word. He doesn't care whether he wears a white belt to prove it or not. He says, I know I'm an apostle. He says, I have had a revelation from God. And because I've had that, I have a mandate from God to attempt to share my revelation. I watch television just like you do. I watch Christian TV. I go to meetings. I listen to preachers and teachers. And I hear what you hear. And not everyone is moving in this dimension. And because of that, we are so programmed. I was going to say brainwashed, and then I thought better than to say that, so I'm not going to say brainwashed. The jury will disregard the word brainwashed. We are so conditioned to think surface only. And we say deeper truths are for the clergy and the called, anointed prophets and apostles. And it's wonderful to hear them from time to time. Of course, no one understands them because they have mysteries. And I believe that we're in a moment between seasons when God is revealing his mysteries to his people, to everyone who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, I preached that in Southern California just a few weeks ago over here in wherever, West Covina. Or in Covina, he's going to call it West Covina there. That from Revelation 1 and 2. It's an interesting message there because the message comes to the churches through John by the Holy Spirit. Right to the seven churches. Whether literally seven churches on earth, probably. I have no problem with that, and I must be careful lest I preach that whole thing. But the message comes, seven is a full, complete, whole number, and it speaks of, these are the general problems in my church. And we begin to go down and see them. But at the end of each message, it says, he that hath an ear to hear. Do you see the balance? God always has a message for his church, universal. But that message is either limited or augmented, carried on by he that hath an ear. Never has there been a time in history when that is more necessary for us to know than today. What will you do with what you're hearing today? There is a mystery that is made so clear today that we, in our endeavor to discover deeper truths and so on, make only confusion come forth. And I see Paul's frustration, even in his writing. He says, I wrote about this to you before. In that little short letter I wrote to you, I'm going to try again. And then he goes through this. And the whole of the mystery is could be almost reduced to this statement. We are created for the presence of God. It will take you out of some old concepts, such as, we are saved to serve. I'm not sure I'm coming back tomorrow night. You're not responding. Are you just bowled over? What was it? How many are awake? Well, there's hope. I believe in service. Don't misunderstand me. Latruo, which is the word from which we get worship, is service. And it's important that we know that. But we were not saved to serve. God would have much less problems if he just had the angels serving. They would get the job done much more rapidly and without, as we say in slang, our flack. But we are not saved to serve. We are saved to dwell. We are literally created to dwell in his presence, to live in the presence of Almighty God. It's the Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled church who do not see this. The evangelicals have a better concept of it than we do, and it ought not to be so because it's revealed by the Spirit. We know a lot about Christ in me, the hope of glory. We know very little about me in Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly place. We really don't know much about that. I don't know what it means, but it just sounds wonderful. But it is a time now, and you know how convinced of this I am, when God is saying, I'm looking for those who can lead all of the others through the tunnel when the next outpouring comes. And that's what he's talking about to you tonight. I can talk to you about getting saved. I really believe that 100% of you are Christians. We talk about being spirit-filled, and we all need a new filling. And we could be very excited with it. And I have to tell you, I would enjoy that message. But you've heard it and heard it and heard it. And if you haven't, go home and tune in one of your Christian channels and hear it. Get on your knees and do it. But it's time for us to begin to walk it. How many know that? Now, what are these mysteries? Today, the emphasis of the Lord is on the Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. We're so afraid of terms. We've seen some counterfeits. We've seen some extremes, some exaggerations. We have a tendency to say, well, I'm not going to use that word anymore because I saw a counterfeit to it. And God says, that's baby language. Child comes in and says, I'm not going to play with them anymore. One of those kids hit me. Hello. And God is saying to his people, come on, grow up. You know, one of them hit me. Well, go back. Not everyone hit you. You're in good mood. Strengthen yourself in the Word. Get to know what he did say. Don't focus on what God didn't say. Don't spend your whole lifetime trying to straighten out the body of Christ by finding the flaws in doctrine. Isn't it about time that we say, God, why was I created? How often any one of us, when we hit what we call our lows, and things are not going well in one area or several areas of our lives, have we heard it said out of our own mouths, I don't know why I was even born. That's scriptural, did you know that? Job said it too, but he got a licking for saying it. He said, why hast thou shown me light? I never asked to come out of the womb. A lot of us walking around in the spiritual fetal position. That's Selah. I want to know why you put me here. Now, I've been told for a lot of years of my life that he put me here to serve him. And so I have dedicated myself to that purpose. Serve I have done. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Serve. I'll serve. I'll work till Jesus comes. I've been the whole root of that. And so have some of you. How many have? And all we picture ourselves panting up to the throne for reward. Then someone came along and said, it is time for the church to praise the Lord. Let's just praise. I said, I don't have time to praise the Lord. I've got to work till Jesus comes. And so we saw ourselves as soul-saving stations. Beacon lights. Remember all those terms? People getting saved because of your life is a byproduct or a fruit, a natural fruit. As natural as oranges growing on your orange tree. Of course they're going to get saved if you live before them the life of Christ. Of course they're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit when they see a Spirit-filled demonstration before them that excels anything they've ever seen in the naturals before. It is the enemy that wants us to focus on the byproduct, which is called fruit, not on the giver of the fruit. Subtle, isn't it? You don't see it yet? There's no need for me to take you into Genesis and show you the creation on through. You see this? This is the mystery. But it's an unfolded mystery. It has been unfolded. It is being unfolded. And he that hath an ear to hear can hear what he's saying today. You can read it all through Scripture. There are many things that talk about the mystery of godliness, the mysteries of the Lord. That very word mystery scares people. Ooh, it's deep and mysterious. Not mysterious. It is only revealed to the Spirit by the Spirit. And I'll tell you something else while we're all out there on that limb. The testimony that you have had, the kind of ministry that you have been satisfied with, will not lead people through the tunnel in the next move. It won't do it. People will go on getting saved and healed and filled till Jesus returns. I have no problem with that. I'm not talking about that. There is a tunnel from that point. Once you're saved and baptized in water and healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, then what? That's when you hit the tunnel. You start through a tunnel. You say, now what? And for years, when that question was asked, the answer from the church was, just hold on. And so people started through that tunnel, just holding on. They didn't know what they're holding on to. This next move of God is going to bring a return of all of the outer court ministries, all of the in inner court ministries, latter rain and former rain, they're going to come together. How many understand what I'm saying? How many don't understand one thing I'm saying tonight? Well, two's not bad. Going to bring us together in the next move of God. It's going to come together, former and latter, that which has been and that which we've had drips and drops of. It's going to be so dynamic that there's going to be a majority numerically focused on those ministries. You hearing? Getting saved, baptized, filled, the Holy Spirit. The numerical majority has always been outer court. Always. It's as it should be. Thousands upon thousands of people will meet the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time in the next outpouring of God. Wait and see. Thousands upon thousands are going to know healing in a dynamic, magnificent, miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit as preachers, pastors, simply preach the word. It's going to happen. But thousands of people are going to be totally content with that demonstration unless you hear the mystery. How does it communicate? And there are going to be those who start out and say, this is marvelous. But I have already entered into this. And surely there's more to it than this. God, I've got to have more of you. I've got to know you in another dimension. And I know, I see your heads nodding tonight. I know that's where you're seated. Because you are the call forerunners of the Lord. There is a longing, hungering, thirsting spirit after God himself inside of you tonight that says, unfold those mysteries to me, God, that I might know you in the power of resurrection. And when you begin to see that, you're going to understand the very absolute gorgeous beauty of this magnificent Word of God. This Old Testament that took 1,000 years for its completion, with about 27 anointed men of God hearing and writing and maintaining and telling the stories as it came into being, 39, as we call it, books of the Old Testament, bringing us the history and the law and the poetry and the minor and major prophets and so on. But the New Testament was written by only 8 or 10 men, and it only took one generation. Do you see anything? And don't you panic and say, oh, my Lord, help us. She's about to say, we're going to close the Bible now, and all new truth is going to come directly to the prophets, and you're so wrong. We don't understand half of the half that has been told. What I'm trying to tell us tonight is that it's the day of revelation to he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And it's all right down here written, but we just don't know what we're seeing. Now have I laid a foundation? All right, then now you can turn to Genesis 1. And don't worry about me getting through. I never get through. I preach by the clock. It's the only way. So I've got about, from what Pastor said, 35 minutes. Give or take an hour. The key to life, the key to all Christian life, is the first 4 words of our magnificent Christ. The Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This is Christ. Amen? All right. In the beginning, God. That's the whole thing. In the beginning of everything, there's God. In the beginning, God. If Christians would believe it, the world might. In the beginning, God. God created. He created the heavens and the earth. People say, oh, there we go. We're going to have now a big argument. The creationists against evolution. And so there is no argument. In the beginning, God. Period. There's nothing to discuss. People say to me, and they do, you know, time to time, well, I don't care what it says. I don't believe it. And I say, I don't care what you believe. It's true. We get so fanciful in our scientific approach to what we call arguments. We don't have to argue anything. In the beginning, God, period. That's it. What did he do? He created the heaven and the earth. Science is very exciting to Christians today. Christians are very excited over the discovery, for example, that finally, they found a white shark that could swallow 2 men, not just 1, and maintain them for a period of 3 days, and they could live. Remember reading that? Christians got so excited. Ooh, it just proves the story of Jonah. I said, not to me. I would have no problem believing it was a guppy. Why do we need science? Why do we need scientific proof of what we know by the Spirit? Now listen. Oh, God, give you understanding. I know the word impartation has been misinterpreted and a lot of other things. But like it or not, it's a word you're going to hear not only through this preacher, but through others. It is the day when the only ministry that is going to change your life is the ministry of impartation, which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the Spirit within you. We've had intellectual ministry for a long season. And we have intellectualized nearly every spiritual truth. But it hasn't changed lives. Ask missionaries. I've talked to a lot of them who have locked into service, and they are faithful, 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 faithful. And they can go over and lay truth out and lay truth out and lay truth out. But there has come no change to lives or nations until divine impartation of truth broke through. And then customs were done away with. And everything that was a part of the past of that nation absolutely became senseless because there was a ministry of spirit to spirit. That's why the emphasis today is on prayer and the Word. For people to pray that there will come a moving of the Holy Spirit to prepare hearts to receive the Word so that when the Word is spoken, the Word is fulfilled. And every church that's represented here, you need to think it over. In the beginning, God, what did He do? He created the heavens and the earth. Now, something happened between 1 and 2, as you well know. And the earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. Where are we going to go with this lesson? I mean, are we just going to talk about creation? If I don't do anything else, I hope I incite you to at least be curious about the Word of God. When you read this, you have a right to say, so what? You really do. Why'd you put that there? You told me to read the Word. Why is it there? I don't care really how you did it. If you don't ask that, you're only thinking intellectually. Ooh, let's see how he did it. Wow, and he said this and then that. And, and that's what we've done with the creation story. Hello. That's all we've done with it. Genesis 1, it's for little children. We speak to little children. We tell them this is how God created the heavens and the earth. This is the unfolding of the mystery of the New Testament. That's why tonight I had a new comprehension and appreciation when we sang, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good news. Because I could see my Christ coming across those mountains of intellectualism and doubt and humanistic approach to everything, saying, I will impart gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, how beautiful are his feet. Well, then, what does relate? Well, let's simplify it. What are you made out of? Dust, dirt? Oh, yes, ladies, you too. I mean, we got it secondhand after it was improved, but... Now do you see a key to Genesis 1:2? And the earth, who's that? Me. Me without him. Me left to myself in that catastrophic condition of what self can do to self, was without form and wasted, void. Never has there been a time when we could more accurately see this in humans plural, than today. Drive down some of your city streets and see the void and waste as lives are absolutely in a chaotic condition because of drug use and alcohol and all of the other things. Do you understand that? Look into those eyes. There's no hope. There's no purpose. There's no reason. There's no one home. They're just not there. Empty. Void. Oh, what a hopeless condition. And if I was an evangelist, I would take this portion, and that's what I'd preach about the hopelessness without Christ, and it would be a valid message. But I'm presuming upon you to know that. What's the hope of it? Oh, let's read on. Though darkness was on the face of the depths of it, the Spirit of God moved. The word is brooded. The Spirit of God brooded upon the face of that condition, of those waters. Oh, you ought to be shouting. I mean, if you see that, you ought to be shouting. I want you to know, mothers whose hearts are broken, fathers whose hearts are broken because you have children in the condition that I just described, wives and ex-wives and husbands and ex-husbands, because you have ex-mates who are in the condition I just described, you can't possibly care nearly to the degree that the Holy Spirit cares and broods over them. Oh, praise God for that tonight. He hasn't let go of your loved one. There is a spirit that broods over them that says, this was not your purpose of creation. This is not why you were born. You were not born to this condition. I've got to do something. I must prepare you to come out of the waters. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Then the Spirit of God moved. We sing a chorus. I guess you do too. When the Spirit of the Lord moves on my heart, I'll dance like David. I'll sing like David. I'll clap like David. I'll praise like David. Absolutely true. When the Spirit of the Lord moves on our heart, we'll do anything God says to do. And not 1 minute until. Now, for those of you who like to be students of the Word and homiletically approach it, you see, of course, the incarnation there, just prior to what you would see the cross. For you remember when Mary said, how can it be that Christ is going to come forth from me? And it said, the Spirit shall come upon you, the Spirit shall overshadow you, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And this is what we see here. It's when the Holy Spirit overshadows us, hear me now, with divine purpose. That all it takes is for the individual to agree with the hovering Spirit for whatever miracle needs to take place to happen. Nothing. Behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? That's scripture. We say, well, you can't put a seed of a child in a virgin. That is scientifically impossible. You getting my point, are you? And the Holy Spirit began to hover over. And higher than man's intellect and nature's seeming ways, the Creator himself implanted that holy seed, Christ. That's what separates Christians from non-Christians at that special time of year we set aside and call Christmas. Oh, that is a beautiful picture. But day one comes then. And immediately God says, let there be light. And there was light. That's the cross, of course. For until there comes that light that illumines the darkness, there can be no change. You can preach at people who, my friends, Americans especially, are preached at up to here. I mean, they've heard it. It's many years ago when I worked in the probation department, and we used to have those who were constant offenders, and we'd try to counsel them. They knew the jargon better than we did. They come in, sit across the desk and say, yes, I know, I'm a bit schizoid, and I have these paranoid tendencies, and I'm a social mystery. And they go through the whole thing better than you can. And what are you going to do with them? Nothing. There's no light there. That's the way people are today. Quote your scripture right back at you. I've heard all that stuff, they say. And it's frustrating to Christians until you understand what I'm endeavoring to impart to you tonight. It has to come by revelation. And revelation comes when the Spirit broods over and there is an agreement, I want out of here. It is then, and only then, that the Word becomes the creative Word. Let me give you an example. It's just, I was reaching for one, and then a very recent one came. I have counseled off and on for perhaps 10 more years, or more years, with a family. With all kinds of problems, and particularly in the oldest of the children. Lies and alcohol and just the typical sin kind problems. Through the years, broken hearts, broken hearts, broken hearts. About 3-4 months ago, I had a conversation with the parents and I said, this child has been through counsel with me, counsel with those far more schooled in that than I, school counselors and so on, had psychological tests and so on. Unless the Spirit of the Lord moves, there is no hope. So why don't we stop fighting and start praying with a new authority? So the father and the mother and I agree. And I think it's been, isn't it about 3 months? We have faithfully prayed. God reveal. This week, the father and the mother, in fact, it was just last week, Wednesday night, said to me, a miracle has taken place. Said, our daughter came in from work and said, I call a family assembly. Wanted her brother there, and so they all came together. And she said, I want to confess, and went backwards through her life. All the time she had lied and then stood fast to her lies. And went through one after another, after another, after another. They said, we just sat there and cried. This is what I'm trying to talk to you about tonight. It came when the Spirit hovered over, and one day she came to the end of herself and said, I gotta get out of here. And then the Word penetrated and light shone in darkness. And she was able to say, I really at times didn't even know I was lying. I guess I'm not saying too well that sin has become quite sophisticated. Consciences are seared. Behavior is treated on an average level as acceptable or sick, never sin. Hello. And yet all we have to do is go back to the beginning and say, God, why was man created? He said, man was created to live and dwell eternally in fellowship with me in my presence. And I've made every provision for that. And I have demonstrated it in the creation of the world. But it is a mystery which has been hidden until now. The moment light comes, judgment comes. And so something begins to happen. The light reveals, manifests the darkness. The Spirit has prepared something. The Word then is spoken, and it comes to pass. That's why the psalmist said, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. And you well know the Hebrews portion of the Word of God being quick and powerful and sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. That is not just the memorization of Scriptures. That's what's frustrating some of you today. You've heard about the power of the Word. So you load your spiritual gun with Scriptures.
And you fire at people. The Bible says.
And then you quote one more to make yourself feel good. And you say, and the word says that it will not return void. It doesn't when he speaks it. Then he says, now let's look at this. I've got to separate these. Verse 4. God saw the light. How does he see the light? What does he say about the light? He says, the light's good. So let's divide the light from the darkness. You know what? The church doesn't like that. That's called meddling. But the scripture says, I'm looking for those who will carry the filth and the pollution out of the holy place. I'm looking for those who will separate the holy from the profane. Not in the lives of others, sis. Not in the life of your brother, sir. But in your own life. It is when the light comes and begins to reveal me to me that I can then say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the revelation of this. And I don't want there to be darkness in light. We have a saying, as different as night from day. Think about that spiritually. I'm going to tell you that numerically, gray is a lot more popular than white. Selah. Moving right along. God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the very first day. Because, honey, you're not going anywhere till you deal with that. You can talk it, you can think it, but you're not going to go anywhere until you start dealing with night and day in your life. There's no place to go. That's where it begins. That's the first day. This is of God and this is not of God. And that's the way it is. It's just period. And some good things are black. If God says, let go of it. And God said, let there be, verse 6, a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Because God said, God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. What is this? How does this relate to us? Well, there are waters of all nature in Scripture. There's the voice of God that sounds like many waters, as John described it. And there are waters that represent people. But there are waters of turmoil and adversity and judgment more often in symbolism than anything else. Now God says, part of these waters, I'm going to make a blessing to you and I'm going to lift them off of you and put them in a heavenly place over you, and what they will have worked in you will become your blessing from above. I think Pastor Priest did here Sunday, as he was sharing with me just prior to the service. Others have used different terms to say blessings out of buffetings. We don't always understand all of the waters of conflict and turmoil in our lives and in our homes and so on. But when he is Lord and we are only his prisoner, he says, I'll take a portion of that water. When I get through with it, it's going to rain a blessing upon you that could come no other way. I will make it your heaven. How many see it now? Oh, thank you, Lord. That's how we can praise the Lord. That's how we can say, we bring the sacrifice of praise. How do we mean that? I mean, do we really mean that? We can if we understand the mystery. The mystery is, I was created to dwell in his presence. Now and then. And whatever it takes to bring that into fullness has to happen. Can you say amen? When you say amen, you're saying, Holy Spirit, you who brood over me, do your job and I will accept. Huh? All right. So these waters are separated. Now, some of this water is destined to await cessation and destruction, or to pass away. Or we say in comforting one another, this too shall pass, or and it came to pass. There are things in your life today that seem so vital and so alive and so real and so devastating, it looks as if they're eternal, but they're not. They're not. Because he says, I am the Lord thy God, and is there anything too hard for me? I say, nothing. He says, not always going to be like this. I'm going to take part of those waters. I'm going to bring them up, and they're going to rain a blessing on you. And yes, part of it, I'm just going to dam it to destruction. Hello? Now, you ready for the next heavy, or have you had enough? How many can take just a little more? All right. Too often, we hold on to the portion that is damned to destruction because we become so accustomed to it. Many people won't let go of their trouble. And you can spot them by two words. Yes, but. No matter what you say, yes, but. And a good answer to that is goats do and sheep don't. Maybe that's not a good answer, but it is an answer. We can become so used to ourselves that we're like those who were locked in prison at a time when Paul and Silas sang at midnight. Remember that story, don't you? They were just praising the Lord. The Lord says, oh, I got to sit here and listen. And he got too close. And every time the Lord gets close, things get shaken. And everything got shook up. They called it an earthquake. And all the doors of the prison were open. The Bible says, all the doors of the prison were open. Who came out? Nobody. Paul and Silas were in stocks. Not Hutton type. The jailer's ready to... You're a little slow here in California. That's all right. It's fun to watch it hit. The jailer was ready to kill himself. And Paul says, don't worry about anything. Nobody came out. Spiritual lesson, isn't it? You don't see it? Why do you make me dramatize everything? You're like, I see Christians today. Well, hallelujah, I'm saved. I got the Holy Ghost in baptism. And there may be more out there, but glory to God, at least I know what I've got here. 3 squares a day, and I know just how far to walk. I'm not going off any deep end, glory be to God. But every move of God has come to a people who have said, hallelujah, the prison doors have just swung open, and I want the deep end, and I'm going on with God. And I believe God has told me that's the kind of people I'll be preaching to tonight, and two more. You are saying, I want what God is saying today. So he says, you know, there's some of that water that's going to dry up. My church background used to sing a song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New church background too. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know how he does that? He takes part of the water up, turns that which the enemy meant to destroy you into a blessing to pour out upon you, and he says to the rest of the water, dry up. And pretty soon, what you thought was going to destroy you in drowning is the top of the mountain. Glory to God. Oh, you should be shouting if you really see that in God. Praise be unto the Lord. Now, when that happens, we understand what it is to be born of the Spirit. We become partakers of a divine nature in preparation for divine purpose, which is always eternal. God's divine purpose for you is not just for this earth. This earth is our school. Amen? How many want to graduate? How many know that if you did right now, you'd be skipping grades? No. Part of the affliction that became our heaven is preparing us for day 3, which is resurrection. You see, we don't stay at the cross. We come into regeneration, which is the separation of the waters. Sanctification, regeneration. I Have I hit everybody's doctrine? Well, we don't stay there. I mean, we shouldn't stay there. Some people do stay there. That's their whole life. But we move beyond that then. We begin to understand there's resurrection. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Why? Romans 6:1, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, from glory to glory. Do you see the Bible coming together? Old and new, complementing each other. One message. There is one message from Genesis through Revelation. All through Revelation, it's worship, worship, worship. All through Genesis, it is preparation for worship, worship, worship. We were created to dwell in his presence. You cannot dwell in his presence and not worship him. Oh, well, heaven's really going to be boring. I can just see it. We'll sit around in a circle. Praise you, Lord, praise you. Even God would be bored with that. Heaven is a limitless place. Hallelujah. When all of what we call imagination is released into creative utilization. I've got great plans. I plan to move from planet to planet, doing a lot of things that would scare you if I told you. And I'll be there because I'll be released from all of the limitations of humanity and I shall be like him. Are you kidding? Praise? I don't even know what praise is compared to what it'll be there. Just think of some of the choir directors that have gone on before us. Think of some of the soloists and the organists that used to play and thrill our hearts. And then see the Holy Spirit without measure coming within each one of them in demonstration of the Holy God, Father, and Holy Ghost. If you're not excited about eternity, you're dead. Glory to God. And so that's where we are. We're in preparation. We've come through 2 steps. At least, we've looked at 2 steps tonight. And we've seen, Lord, I'm but clay. I'm a mess left to myself. And then we hear that brooding over us. You're not alone. You're not left to yourself. Lo, I am with you always. I brood over you. Why, before you even recognized your need of me, I had this plan. And I am with you. And then I say, then do something. Get me out of this. And he says, oh, I will. And then he says, let me show you what you need. Light. Light comes to me. And I look at myself. And I'm devastated. And frightened. And frustrated. And I say, the things I would, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched, wretched woman that I am. Oh, God, why have you shown me that? Oh, no. He says, wait a minute. Let's separate some things in your life. Let's not amass and generalize. Let's separate. We have a tendency when light comes to generalize and say, I'm no good. There's no good in me. And God says, I'll tell you what part stays. And I'll tell you what part goes. And don't you hate people who can do your don'ts? See, we don't like this personalized dealings of God. We want a generalized dealing. All sin is, and we want it written down on our church, that he says, I'll send the light. And when I send light, it'll be revelation. And when I reveal, there will be a separation. And then I'll deal with the waters.